And welcome into the gym class here at KGYM on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day here in 2021. Thank you for joining us. Do appreciate it. Here on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, as well as 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, your mobile app, and smart speakers. Scott Unash with you from our studios here on the southwest side. Buttons on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes from his home on the southwest side will be joining us coming up here in just a moment. Mondays, we talk with Mike Halas of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. He was in Evanston yesterday as the Iowa Hawkeyes with a big victory on the road as they took care of business against the Northwestern Wildcats. We'll talk about that and much, much more coming up in the world of college basketball here in just a little bit. We'll take a look at that Iowa-Northwestern game with you, talk a little bit about Iowa State basketball and the situation that they face, and a big win for the Iowa State women over the weekend, as well as the NFL playoffs. So plenty to talk about with you out there, and your input welcome as always. You can reach us via the phone lines or our KGYM text line at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600 on this sunny Monday afternoon. Mark, good afternoon. How was the weekend?
Weekend was terrific, Scott. I hope it was for you and Buttons and everyone out there. And such a fun weekend in many regards, and looking forward to diving into the day's show.
Yeah, we got Iowa women's basketball coming up at the bottom of the hour, as well as it will be Iowa and Purdue going at it at Carver Hawkeye Arena in Iowa City, a Martin Luther King Day matinee, if you will. And that will get started at 3:30. We'll keep an eye on that and see how the Hawkeyes are doing. And if you had any doubts or questions, yes, rest assured, Caitlin Clark won the Caitlin Clark Award again this week. So she is a perfect 6-for-6 now, I believe, winning Big Ten Freshman of the Week honors in women's basketball. Congratulations once again to Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, that just out. And we talked to Iowa basketball coach, women's basketball coach Lisa Bluter on Friday a little bit about Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes. And I got to believe it's unprecedented that someone has won it 6 straight weeks right out of the chute, but Caitlin Clark deserves it.
Yeah, and I would imagine she will pick up a few more honors, no doubt about that. As the Iowa women, as we mentioned, they will tip off in about 25 minutes down in Iowa City at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Again, text welcome at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600 if you would like to weigh in on the happenings over the sports weekend as we look at the weekend that was out there. Let's start off with Iowa men's basketball. Mark, what was expected to be a pivotal and close game on the road in Evanston yesterday did not turn out that way. Iowa shot it very, very well and really played good, solid zone defense in the back part of the first half and through the second half. And despite the fact that Bo Bowie came out and broke out of his shooting slump, hitting 3 out of his first 4, couldn't continue that. Northwestern could not continue shooting well. And Iowa just, they ran over the Wildcats yesterday.
Yeah, this is an Iowa basketball team that's really humming along right now and ranked number 4 in today's Associated Press men's basketball poll. And Iowa was a 10-point favorite. It exceeded that yesterday, and everything that you mentioned, from good shooting to defense, that was prevalent in that game. But my main takeaway, Scott, was how unselfish this basketball team is in terms of, you know, making that extra pass, whether it's Luca Garza being double teamed in the post and finding someone on the perimeter who knocks down a 3. I mean, they had 22 assists on 33 field goals. That's exceptional. And when Iowa plays like that, it's going to be very difficult to beat. But I would also say Iowa is capable of playing in so many other different types of tempo and style and whatnot. You know, early on there, I thought when Bowie hit his couple, I was saying, well, here's another guy who's going to have a career day from the outside. But then Fran McCaffrey, Iowa's head coach, had a kind of a heated conversation in the huddle and said, expletive is open out there, do something about it. And Iowa did. The stretch that Iowa has been in, Iowa's allowed like 71 or 2 point points a game to opponents. It has stepped up its defense. It hasn't been for 40 minutes always. Thus, Fran McCaffrey has to, you know, inject his wisdom. But all in all, it was a terrific game for Iowa.
It was. It was a very good game for the Hawkeyes. And they came away with the victory. And I tell you what, I listening to the game, I always enjoy Bill Raftery. Not only because he is an icon, but I think he's got a lot of very good basketball insight out there. He's not out there just to throw his his agenda around and his catchphrases. He does. He does. But he throws a few catchphrases, but he knows his basketball. Very impressed with the way that Iowa played. And the bench came through again. That play at the end of the first half by Keegan Murray was absolutely brilliant when he came up with a steal, went down, got the dunk just ahead of time. And I'm just going to say that I'm knowing that Joe Toussaint knew that Iowa was not in the bonus when he ran over the guy on the inbounds pass. I'm just going to assume that he knew that Iowa had only five team fouls, and it was a good foul if he did that. So, but they came in. I tell you what, Tony Perkins came in and played some good minutes at the end. Looked really good for the Hawkeyes. And, you know, everybody got to play on Sunday. And that keeps everything fresh and lively on the bench. And, you know, guys like Bear and Austin Ash, they're out there. Every time there's a three-pointer, you look to the sideline, and those guys are leading the cheers over there. And that's what's needed, especially without fans, for the most part, in these arenas across college basketball.
Yeah, Iowa didn't lose a whole lot when the so-called second team was out there with Patrick McCaffrey and Toussaint and Murray and others. It's just such a deep team. And, you know, when Austin Ash gets a couple minutes, that's, at least this year, a very good thing because it's usually mop-up duty. Austin puts in a lot of time. He's very good friends with Luca Garza, and I think he's become somewhat of a fan favorite, despite the fact there's not very few fans in the stands. But just the chemistry of this team, I think, looking outwardly, and I think you hear it in quotes from players, that it's just such a good chemistry on this team, and everybody wanting the best for each other. And it's not going to be the same star every night out. I mean, Luca Garza scored 17 in the first half, didn't score in the second half, and didn't play for the last, 12 minutes?
Yep.
But was very happy to sit back and see those guys that work hard and practice every day. And they played hard till the end, Scott.
They did. They played very hard until the end. And now this week for the Hawkeyes, if you have not heard, well, the next game for Iowa comes up on Thursday night, as it'll be Indiana coming to Iowa City, the Hoosiers. Tell you what, you talk about a Jekyll and Hyde team in the Big Ten this year. It is Indiana. But I tell you what, I would love to be at Carver Hawkeye Arena as a fan on Thursday night just to see the center battle between Davis and Garza going at it. That is going to be just terrific on that particular night. But if you've not heard, the game next Saturday for Iowa has Sunday, I beg your pardon. Next Sunday has already been postponed. Iowa and Nebraska in Iowa City. No makeup date has been announced, but that will not be played. So the Hawkeyes will then have a total of almost a little bit over a week to get ready after the Indiana game for a game at Champaign-Urbana against Illinois. An Illinois team that suddenly has five losses. And I think it's down to number 22 or 23 in the rankings.
Yeah, and Indiana has five losses as well. But like many, many Big Ten teams, it's a dangerous club with some excellent play. I'm sorry, Indiana has four losses. But at any rate, you get my point that while it's not in the upper division right now, the Big Ten standings, it's certainly capable. And it's very curious what's happened with Illinois. You know, I didn't see this coming. I think Illinois was pegged right along with Iowa, perhaps Wisconsin, to win the Big Ten championship. And as far as the Nebraska game goes, I think we knew going in, again, Nebraska's game Wednesday also postponed at home against Minnesota. I think we knew going into this Big Ten season it was going to be a bumpy ride. But the challenge really is for the Big Ten office and the coaches and ADs to get together and see how to make these games up. You know, you might have to play, for example, four games in 7 days.
Yeah.
Because of that, I think that's what Purdue is facing, or Penn State, I'm sorry. Penn State is facing after having to sit out because of COVID issues for a period of time. But I think everyone going in knew it was going to be like this, and you're going to have to make adjustments and operate on the fly. And I think that's what most coaches are going to be doing.
Trace Jackson-Davis is going to be one of the tougher matchups for Luka Garza this year, along with Kofi Coburn. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But those are completely different players in the pivot. Jackson-Davis uses his footwork and his agility and speed to and his jumping ability in the middle very, very well. And it will be a challenge. One of the biggest challenges of the year for Luka Garza coming up on Thursday night. And that's going to be a fun, fun game, I think, between the Hawkeyes and the Indiana Hoosiers. Speaking of COVID problems over the weekend, in fact, I think this came out late Friday night, early Saturday morning, Iowa State, Kansas was postponed with COVID problems for Steve Prohm and the Cyclones. They are shutting things down for a little bit. And Iowa State's game on Wednesday night, scheduled against the Texas Longhorns at Ames, has been postponed as well. So Iowa State hoping to get back on the court this coming Saturday down in Lubbock when they take on the Texas Tech Red Raiders on a quick turnaround as far as those two teams playing. It'll only be about 2 weeks since they played last. But, boy, Murphy's Law is coming around for Steve Prohm and the Cyclones. Just when you thought things couldn't get a whole lot worse for Iowa State, they did get a whole lot worse.
Been a very difficult year for the Cyclones, sitting winless in the Big 12 and now experiencing COVID issues, much like what's going on the Drake campus. Drake having to postpone a few games here. But as I said just a few minutes ago, I think everyone knew that it was going to be a bumpy ride here, there, or elsewhere. And I'm going to have to deal with the situation as it is, and you just hope it doesn't become more widespread than what it is.
81-86 on the text line. The Big Ten should move the Illinois versus Iowa game up. Well, you never say never as far as 2021 is concerned. So nothing has changed as far as the game time or the date on that particular game has been set. So we'll see. And yes, Troy, we will get to you coming up in a moment. Cannot forget the world of the NFL. We mentioned Iowa women getting ready to take on Purdue in about 15 minutes, but congratulations to Bill Finley and the Iowa State Cyclones. Saturday night, Iowa State upended Baylor down in Waco, ending what was it, 62 games? The long home court winning streak for Kim Mulkey and the Baylor Lady Bears down there. And Iowa State in a big logjam at the top of the Big 12. But the Cyclones have already beaten two of the other three teams in that first-place tie. So things looking good right now. Tell you what, the last three games, Iowa State has shot the threes well. And when Iowa State women hit threes, that opens things up for whomever. And this year, of course, it's Jones. And, boy, Iowa State is looking good right now.
You can't underestimate how large that victory is, given the long winning streak that Baylor had. We have to remember that the Bears were idle for a couple weeks because of COVID issues. But I don't think that minimizes a great deal what Iowa State did on the road. Ashley Jones out of Iowa City doing terrific things per usual. But she's got a very good supporting cast around her as well. It's It's nice, Iowa State team. There's no question.
It is, and they are keeping their fingers crossed that everything is going to go well and continue as far as the Big 12 season, the Big 12 tournament, the postseason tournament in the NCAAs as well. So great job by Coach Fenley, Coach Steyer, and everybody over there. Tremendous win on the road on Saturday night. Iowa State women in action against Oklahoma tomorrow night. We'll have that game for you on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM on Tuesday night, beginning at 6 o'clock with the pregame show and 6:30 with the tip-off for that one. High school basketball, girls basketball, rated matchup tomorrow night. It'll be number 15 Prairie hosting number 7 Iowa City West at 7:15. We'll have that on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. 319-366-1600 here at 20 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Scott and Mark and Buttons with you here. And the NFL, we've got the Final Four for the National Football League season in place and ready to go. Both number one seeds are in there. They will host. It will be Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going up to Green Bay to take on the Packers. And, yes, they played earlier this year, and I believe Tampa, a big winner as far as that game is concerned, but a lot of water has gone under the bridge since then. Same thing with the Chiefs and the Bills. They met earlier this year in week 6, I believe it was, in primetime. Chiefs went up to Buffalo and ran for 250-odd yards in winning that particular ball game. But they're both filled with intrigue, Mark, as you can imagine.
Oh, without a doubt. And I think, you know, the fact that three out of the four favorites, three out of the four home teams won was so significant. The only outlier was last night when Tampa Bay upended New Orleans after getting beaten pretty soundly during in the regular season, including, what was it, 38-3 last time out. But the Saints with four turnovers, I thought the Saints presented a very solid challenge to Green Bay and perhaps going into the Super Bowl. But if Drew Brees has played his last game in the National Football League, I'm not sure it's the way he wanted to go out. But I was touched by some of the video of Tom Brady after everyone had showered, getting ready to leave. He spent a lot of time with Drew Brees and his family on the field and reminiscing and hugging and whatnot. And I think a very much a mutual admiration society between those two. And not just those two, but I'm sure several players in the NFL. But you had to feel for Brees, had to feel good for Tom Brady. It demonstrates how difficult it is to beat a team, if not twice, three times in a season. And the Saints couldn't get it done. And the first person I thought of was our friend Cajun Troy, who I know has weighed in on the text line, Scott.
She has indeed. And Troy weighing in. Glad it's over. We are contenders during regular season and pretenders in the playoffs. Here's a fact. Saints, the only team in history to win 49 regular season and four regular season games in 4 years and not win a Super Bowl. Poor coaching in the playoffs. But I think Troy would also, and I'm sure she's going to weigh in here, that Drew Brees, just a tremendous, tremendous New Orleans Saint. And, of course, what a great free agent signing he was back after his days with the San Diego Chargers, by the way. Not the Los Angeles Chargers or whatever the case may be. But Brees and Brady go back even to their Big Ten days. 99, I think, was the first time they squared off against one another. But, you know, it was very heartwarming to see Drew Brees with the kids on the Superdome playing field. And keep in mind, Brees has not officially said that he is going to retire as of yet. He did put out the fact that he did put out the statement that this would be his last Superdome game, no matter what. And you would assume that that is what he is going after and what he is thinking anyway. But nothing official has been put out there as of yet. But, yeah, Tampa Bay, anytime you turn the ball over four times, Mark, it doesn't matter what level of football you're at, you are probably not going to win the game.
Yeah, one was a fumble. I think there were three interceptions, and at least one were was tipped. A couple of bad passes, bad anticipation by Drew Brees, very uncharacteristic. And to Troy's point, it's you know, this is an immensely talented New Orleans football club, and to not get to the Super Bowl, just some fluky things have happened. Leo in Iowa City saying, still dealing with that, my emotions after that game. Drew will be remembered fondly, but man, at least for once, this wasn't a quote-unquote fluky loss.
No pass interferences that weren't called or anything
right.
like that, or the Vikings completing one at the very end and whatnot. So I think we said her name three times, so she appears, Mark. Our friend Cajun Troy joining us. And Troy, I know you're not happy with the entirety of your New Orleans Saints, but you'll miss Drew Brees. We're all going to miss
definitely.
Drew Brees.
Oh, I'll be in Canton in 5 years. I'm not even worried about that. You know, he's brought so much to the city and this and that, but it's just one of those situations where, you know, you got to know when to hang it up, you know, and I wish he would have decided last year to, you know, to hang it up. And, you know, so it was even the way I was painful even since he got injured. I think I listened to Bobby Abear after the games station, and, you know, he was the one who said, he said, you know, this injury, I think he came back too early. And he did. I really think, you know, I saw him on the sidelines when he was signaling a touchdown that Jameis did. He didn't raise his arms up all the way. You know, I think he was just in complete pain. And I know everybody's talking about your coaching, but I think we need some new blood. You know, Sean Payton doesn't adjust. And he said after the game, they played man-to-man. You know, they normally play zone. So what do you do, Sean? You make adjustments, okay? You know, so, I'm just kind of, you know, I mean, I think I'm hoping Aaron Rodgers win because I think, you know, we wasted Drew. We wasted his talent over the years. And, you know, and that's a fact. You know, you win 49 regular season games in 4 years and no Super Bowl to prove it. Now, you know, the only one was that Rams one. You know, yeah, I mean, that wasn't Drew's fault or anyone else's fault. But I think I kind of turned it off after the first two possessions for a little bit because when we should have been 14-0, I'm like, here we go. This is the way we play. We don't know how to put teams away. So
Field goals instead of touchdowns.
Yeah, exactly. That's just, I think that happened in that Minnesota game last year when we was going down in the red zone and, you know, Dan Arnold. And this is my fact, and I've been texting this all year. Cook is the worst tight end in the NFL. He is so soft. He never could catch a ball. He goes for a first down, and he holds the ball like a loaf of bread. And, you know, he needs to go. He needs to go. We need to go get this tight end from Iowa State, you know. So, I think the Saints fans, we used to it, you know. We just go with it, and I think, it's going to be a while, and, we don't know if Jay was going to stay there another year because we know Inspector Gadget Hill is not our future quarterback, you know. I'm looking for a Kansas City Green Bay Super Bowl, so that should be fun.
I have a question for you, girl.
Sure.
Are you going to be satisfied with Jameis and Taysom Hill?
No way. But you see, we can't really do anything because we're $100 million over the salary cap.
Yeah, New Orleans has got some problems.
And the salary cap is going down next year. So, listen, dude. At least with Jameis, when he throws an interception, it's like a punt.
He throws it deep anyway.
Exactly, he can do that. But all in all, we'll see. Maybe we'll get Trubisky from Chicago. Maybe he'll come play for the Saints.
Right. Troy, great to hear from you.
All right, good job, guys. We'll see what happens next year.
All right. Cajun Troy joining us here on the program at 3:28. So you've got the Chiefs and the Bills, you've got the Packers and the Buccaneers coming up. Good matchups, and of course, we're going to hear all week about Brady versus Rodgers one more time, and we'll see. If the Buccaneers were diverse in the game against the Packers earlier on, they can't be one-dimensional going into Lambeau. The weather is supposed to be frightful on Sunday in Green Bay. We'll see. And of course, there's only one question dealing with the AFC Championship game going in, Mark. Is Patrick Mahomes going to be back, or is it going to be any given Sunday having to get in there?
Well, Andy Reid, the head coach, was encouraging today, but Patrick Mahomes has to go through a five-step National Football League protocol on this concussions, and he's not going to be able to return to practice until he clears at least step three or four. And the history here is that it's usually a one-week process, and that's about all the remains between when he got hurt and next Sunday's game. I fully expect him to be out there. I think the team doctor for the Chiefs would probably be fired if he wasn't. But there is that you have to keep an eye on.
There is, and I hope he's out there, but I know that there's going to be all kinds of talk if Patrick is out there that, oh, look the other way, not even paying any attention to the prognosis, things like that, as far as your quarterback and what could happen later in life. And it's a shame. It really is. And yes, 52-68, that was a gutsy call by Andy Reid yesterday.
Agree with it, Scott?
I saw that work twice this year. I've seen that work twice. It worked the Miami game. It helped to put that away. And then one other game, and I cannot recall it right now. But
now with Chad Henne.
It wasn't with Chad Henne. Was not with Chad Henne out there. And let's face it, you know, with all due respect to Chad Henne, the Chiefs are not going to beat the Buffalo Bills with Chad Henne. It's just not going to happen. And we'll see. We'll see what happens. If he has to go out there, then he has to go out there. It wouldn't be the first time the Chiefs and the Bills have met in the AFC Championship game and the Chiefs did not have their number one quarterback. I am still bitter over 25 years later. Joe Montana getting knocked out early in that game. But anyway, we digress. And the Chiefs got the victory yesterday, and that was a gutsy call. I thought they were taking it down. I thought they were going to punt it. The old Andy Reid would have done that. The new improved Andy Reid did not. He went for it, and great for him.
Well, he trusted Tyreek Hill, that's for sure, and he trusted Chad Henne. And, you know, as far as the quarterback situation goes, I hope there's nobody out there hoping that Patrick Mahomes can't play. And because that would be, you know, if he can't play, okay, I would understand that. But Green Bay, you don't want to play a game without Aaron Rodgers, right? Tampa, you don't want to play a game without Tom Brady, right? Buffalo, you don't want to play a game without Josh Allen, right? So don't wish, you know, bad feelings on another team. I think all of us want to see all the stars available and see how things play out. But a very interesting question going into next Sunday is the subject of our poll question at KGYMradio.com. Which team is more likely to be upset next Sunday? Would it be Green Bay or Kansas City? And thanks to Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, been serving Iowa City and surrounding areas since 2003.
And, of course, we get the once-a-year debate about the rules after yesterday's Chiefs-Browns game, and 96-63 brings that up on why, when the ball is fumbled into the end zone, it is a touchback. And it's always been that way. Kevin Stefanski, after the game, said the Browns are taught to not reach out for the goal line because of what could happen. He said he understands why his player did that, but he said in practice they are taught not to do that. And that's my simple explanation. That is the rule. And why penalize the defense? And I don't care if it's the Chiefs. I don't care if it's the Dallas Cowboys of buttons here. I would say the same thing because, okay, the offense should have the ball when the defense makes a good play on that, on the goal line. That's the rule. That's the rule. You take a chance when you hold the ball out like that something is going to happen. And it happened.
You know what? That was a killer for Cleveland, no question about it. But by the same token, Baker Mayfield had the ball in his hands to try to take the lead in that game and couldn't get it done. So, well, you can, complain about the rule all you want. Cleveland didn't get it done when it needed to.
All the receiver had to do was just get tackled at the 1 yard line. They had plenty of time to get up there, plenty of time to probably score from 1 yard out in a few plays. All you had to do, right?
Yeah, but it's so hard. If you're the player trying to get to that pylon or to the end zone, you're going to try to do everything you can. And then that split second, that moment.
I understand.
It's easy for people to criticize him not going down and whatnot. But, what if the ball would have been fumbled out of bounds instead of into the end zone? It would have been an entirely different story.
It would have been.
It's hard to criticize the player for making that extra effort to trying to get it into the end zone. But interesting that Kevin Stefanski says, we preach not doing that, but yet it still happened.
And was it a head-on-head hit? There was some head hits. There was some. I will say that. And Dan Sorensen did get a little piece of the head, but they didn't call it. They didn't call it. So I shouldn't comment on this because it's my team. I can't comment on it right there. And yes, 0945, Iowa beat up on Nebraska in wrestling. So we'll talk more about that on Tuesday and Wednesday with Wyatt and Mark coming up. But 8 wins for the Hawkeyes on Friday night. It took Spencer Lee. There was a little aggression from Spencer Lee coming out, I believe. And in less than 90 seconds, pinned his opponent on Friday evening.
Lee was impressive. To me, it was the Nelson Brands show. A lot of us up in the air at 184 with Brands and Abe Assad. Brands was entirely impressive to me, and we'll get the impressions of Wyatt Schultz tomorrow and Mark Ironside on Wednesday in that regard.
Indeed. We'll take a break, come back. Mike Halas is going to join us, and we'll talk Iowa and Northwestern and sports with Mike when we come back. You're listening to The Gym Class here on KGYM.
Making your home more energy efficient doesn't have to require major changes. Little things can make a big difference, like shade. Open up and let the sun in to help heat the house when it's cool, and close those shades on hot days to keep the sun at bay. Unplug for a while. Lots of electronic devices like TVs, game systems, and chargers use power even when they're off. So plug into an advanced power strip that shuts off power to devices that aren't being used. Be bright. Replace incandescent lighting with Energy Star certified LEDs. They use 70 to 90% less energy and last a lot longer. Automate. Install a programmable thermostat that adjusts the temperature while you sleep or you're out of the house to save energy and money. And if you want to know about how you're using energy in your home, download the Smart Hub app to monitor what you're using daily and how it's trending over time. Energy saving that's easier. It's just another one of the nifty benefits of membership with Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
Prior to going to DePaco, my credit was not the best. I was driving a car that was having mechanical issues. So one day I just went there and Mida sat down with me and went over my finances, and we did what's called a money makeover. We were able to get me signed up for a credit card, and I used that to build my credit so that I could be able to get my own car. I love my car, and it's something that I can brag about, honestly, because it's mine and I worked for it, and it's something that I'm proud of. DePaco Community Credit Union and the money makeover was able to get me moving again and in a new car, and I can't thank them enough.
Your money for good. Learn more at DePaco.com. Equal housing opportunity.
I'm Governor Kim Reynolds. COVID-19 isn't bigger than Iowans' resolve to overcome it. Together, we can stop the spread of the virus and get life back to normal by taking simple steps to protect ourselves and others. Wear a mask, social distance, wash your hands, stay home if you're sick, get tested, and isolate from others if you have the virus, and get a flu shot to prevent further illness. Doing these things will protect you and those most at risk. Let's step up and stop the spread together.
Sponsored by the State of Iowa and the Iowa Broadcasters Association in cooperation with this station.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
They are underway in Iowa City, and it's early in the first quarter. Iowa with a two-point lead right now over Purdue. It is 10-8 as the Hawkeye women on the court right now in Big Ten play. We'll keep you updated on the ball game. 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you. Active today, and thank you very much for the interaction. We do appreciate it. Mondays here on the Gym Class, we are always very happy to welcome in Mike Halas, Gazette sports columnist, who read his stuff at thegazette.com, and give him a follow on Twitter at Halas, who joins us here on a Monday edition of the show. And hope you had enough time to get some good Chicago pizza delivered to your hotel room, wherever that was, over the weekend in Evanston.
How did you know?
Because you have to do that when you go to Chicago. Or Okay, good. Good.
And I'll tell you what, Little Angelo's by O'Hare Airport.
Yep.
Fantastic.
It is. It is good. It is good. You can't really go wrong with a lot of places, though, in Chicago. As far as
pizza.
No,
I know, but you know, you got to get carry out or delivery on the road. You don't have to, but I do. And the trouble with that is by the time you get it and start eating it, after about 5 or 10 minutes, it gets cold. But this didn't. It was fantastic. I love deep dish pizza. Some people don't. I do.
I'm right there with you, man. I'm right there with you.
There's a lot of dough there, though, don't you think?
There is. It's very filling. It's very filling. You need about one or two pieces, and then the rest can go home with you.
I know. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares, but we're having fun. No.
And that's the subject of our poll question today.
I barely care.
That was the final 28 minutes or so. That was a pretty darn good showing for the Hawkeyes on the road yesterday.
Yeah, it sure was. It sure was. You know, even the laps they had in the first half, I didn't think was horrendous. I mean, Boo Booey starts making shots. Okay. But just as quickly as he started doing that, he stopped and the rest of their team stopped. But they couldn't do anything with Iowa's offense. It turned into a total mismatch. And there may be some who are quick to dismiss Northwestern, but that's not a bad team. And I would dismantle that team. That's a team that's played Big Ten teams tough. Now, they're on a five-game losing streak, but I saw them against Ohio State on the road a few nights earlier, and it was a one-point game with 4 minutes left. They compete. They're well coached. They're going to be good because they don't have a single senior on the team. But they play Iowa again, and Iowa just, you know, diced them up. It was really, it was yet another good road game.
Yeah, Mike, of all the aspects you can point to in this game, the one I kept saying over and over in my mind, man, what an unselfish team this is. And it bared itself out in the box score with 22 assists on 33 made field goals. And I'm not sure you see it to this extent every game, but that's one of my takeaways. And maybe that's an intricacy of the game that people don't appreciate all too often, but I wondered your thoughts in that regard.
Yeah, I think there's no question, Mark. I mean, they had seven guys who had multiple assists. All five starters did. Four of the five starters had at least three assists. And Garza would have had a couple more if the open players he fed to for three-pointers would have made them, but they were good passes out of double teams. Yeah, I mean, they've been talking about their unselfishness all season, but, you know, that's one way of putting it. But just great ball movement's another one. I mean, they sort of looked like a hockey team on several possessions, the way they were whipping the ball around until they got a slightly better opening and then a slightly better one than that and then a good opening for a good shot. And you saw a lot of that. And you're seeing, you know, some teams, they peak. They just do. Or they have ebbs and flows. This one seems to be going on a fairly consistent line upward here the last five games, doing a lot of things well.
They are. And you get four starters in double figures. Your fifth one makes a three-pointer, I believe. And then four assists, no turnovers. You have Nunji coming off the bench, who was really, really good. Keegan Murray, like I said, was really good again, especially that play at the end of the half. I mean, that put Iowa in, going into the locker room in a really good stead right there. And just, and you got six really good minutes. I know they were mop up, but Tony Perkins looked really good at the end of that game.
Yeah.
So,
The segment that I thought typified the game, or maybe it was the punctuation mark, was Keegan Murray blocks a shot, and then Iowa gets in transition, and Toussaint throws a perfect lob to Wieskamp.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot of good stuff in one sequence. And, I mean, they had three guys who blocked two shots each. We talked about the assists, the passing, and then the shooting. For the third straight game, they shot at least 53%. They're leading the league in three-pointers made, and their three-point percentage is very good. It's not like they're chucking shots all day long. They're taking good three-pointers for the most part. And you got Garza, you know. Yesterday was one of those rare times when, well, I mean, he had 17 at halftime, and he's working them over pretty good. But that's all they needed from him. Now, next time out, they might need 28 or 30 from him, depending on how Indiana defends Iowa. But if teams are going to double-team Garza as much as they have been, it's not working. It hasn't worked in this five-game stretch. I mean, it might work temporarily, but when those guys are hitting 40, 45% of their threes, as they have been the last five games, it's just not working.
The Big Ten standing shaping up and you wrote about this today, Mike, that the players actually were like a golfer, scoreboard watchers. They knew very well where they stood. But granted, as Fran McCaffrey reminded everybody, he really doesn't care who leads the Big Ten Conference in January. But I'm looking at the other teams. Illinois, I think, has to be one of the most surprising teams with three losses in the league. And Minnesota, God, figured out, well, it's a home and away thing with them. But Michigan suffered its first loss in the league. Wisconsin hanging in there at 5-2. I think Ohio State's playing at a very high level. And the team coming in Thursday, I think, is very dangerous. An Indiana team that's 3-4 with a lot of talent, right?
Yeah, they're big guy. Trace Jackson Davis is one of the best players in the country. One of the best NBA prospects in the Big Ten. 6'9", but just consistent. Seems like every game he gets 21, 22, 25 points, 8 or 10 rebounds.
And he's Garza, but he does it differently.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a great matchup Thursday.
Yeah. He doesn't go outside for his points. He's a true post player. But they, as a team, have been sort of stagnant. They lost to Purdue again in their latest game, and there's grumbling because they've lost. Archie Miller's 0-6 against Purdue, and that doesn't play too well in Bloomington. They're not deep. They're not a good rebounding team. So, I mean, Iowa has been a dominant team on its home court. It's beaten all three Big Ten teams that's played at home by exactly 15 points. I think if Iowa plays its game and is focused, that this could be another 15-point type of game.
Hmm. Yeah.
But at the same time, and your point, Mark, I agree with completely, is if you don't come out to play, if you come out flat against Indiana, they're good enough to take you out. And you see it in the Big Ten every week, a game or two like that. And you mentioned Illinois, and that, well, they've lost two home games. Nobody would have believed that they would have lost at home to Maryland, and they would be the disappointment in the conference, except for Michigan State. These were teams that were top 10 preseason teams. I mean, Illinois, a lot of people had as their pick to win the league. They haven't meshed. Whereas I think you see with Iowa, and you've seen it with Michigan outside of one clunker, these are the two teams that have meshed very, very well so far.
Yeah. Michael Loss joining us here, coming up on 350 on the Monday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. As you've got now, by the way, the first time since December of 1961, we talk about strange things in basketball, that Kentucky, North Carolina, and Duke have been out of the AP top 20 and or 25 poll. That happened today. So I guess new blood as far as the world of college basketball, maybe not a bad thing.
And Michigan State's not there either, I believe.
I think you're correct.
Yeah.
I think you're correct on that.
Yeah, it is. You know, Duke has had its problems with the COVID. Michigan State's got its problems with the COVID right now. It's messing with a lot of teams. And, you know, these conference races and the NCAA tournament itself, it might come down to who can dodge those raindrops. Iowa's team sort of had its big issue with COVID in the off season.
Yeah.
And I mean, you hate to even talk about it in some regards, but that could pay off for them down the road. I mean, maybe it already has. Michigan State has got 14 conference games left, and it's already got four losses, and it's going to have a few games that it's going to have to figure out a way to squeeze in. This could be one of those years when Michigan State just never gets going. And whereas Iowa, well, it's kept its roster healthy. It seems to be rolling along. That's not to say anything's guaranteed down the line, but boy, I tell you what, if you compare Iowa to Michigan State 6 weeks ago, you say probably 50-50 between the two on which one's got a better chance of winning the Big Ten. But right now, Iowa's overwhelmingly got a better chance.
Mike, this is the last for me. I'm generally an optimistic person, but seeing what's going on with issues at Nebraska, Fred Hoiberg testing positive, games postponed, Michigan State is going to have at least three games postponed. I'm growing more skeptical that this season is going to play out with every team playing 20 games. Are you?
Yeah, it's going to be really hard in the Big Ten because they built in a couple of weeks for makeup games. But boy, those things fill up pretty fast, and not all the teams are in the same situations. You know. If one team has to pull out of a game, it doesn't mean it's going to be as easy for team A to reschedule as it is team B. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I can't imagine that all 14 Big Ten teams play 20 games before the league tournament. But make no mistake about it, they'll do everything. I mean, they'll move heaven and earth to get an NCAA tournament played.
Yeah,
there's just too much money involved, and they lost that last season, and they cannot lose it again this season. They just can't, and that's why they're having a college basketball season. As much as anything, they've got to get that tournament money, and that's what that's what it is. So it might be an odd looking tournament in terms of a team that's played 30 games is playing a team that's played 16 or 18 games. And conference standings might be warped, and you may not even have true champions in some of those leagues. But it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's an uphill battle, certainly. You've got Iowa State shut down right now. You've got Drake shut down right now. Iowa's game next Saturday is already off, and you and I was shut down. So this is it's crazy as it can be, and yeah, who knows? Who knows how many games we'll get in
during football too?
True, true, but not with the Iowa teams.
No.
Yeah, not with the Iowa teams out there. Iowa, Indiana coming up on Thursday night should be a lot of fun, and we hope on Thursday night anyway. And then, as of right now, Iowa gets about an 8-day break before Illinois in a very pivotal game for the Hawkeyes, who are tied for first. So some interesting basketball is coming up. Mike, always appreciate it. Good insight.
Yeah, stay well, and talk to you in a week.
All right, thanks, Mike. Michael Oss from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Read his stuff at thegazette.com. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Halas. He joins us here on Mondays on the Gym Class right here on KGYM. After one on the Monday Martin Luther King Day matinee in Iowa City, it is Purdue on top of Iowa in women's basketball, 21-17, down at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Myron Goodman in very early today for Lisa Bluter and the Hawkeyes, interestingly enough. So, yeah, we'll see. A few lineup changes, if you will. And we talked with Lisa last Friday, Mark, and she said this year's substitution pattern, a lot of that is due to matchups with the young team that she has, and maybe she feels like Goodman and Meyer match up a little better against Purdue.
Well, I think part of it, too, in this particular game is the effort that she's not getting out of certain players and trying to inspire them, and that's what you see with a lot of basketball teams. But this is a game Iowa must have. Purdue is not particularly good, and right now Iowa with a four-point lead starting the second quarter.
Yeah, and we'll keep you updated on that during the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, and that is coming your way next right here on KGYM. Is tomorrow Wyatt Schultz will join us, and we will talk about high school wrestling coming up. We'll talk a little college wrestling as well with you coming up tomorrow, and we'll take a look ahead to the Iowa State Oklahoma women's basketball game, talk a little bit more about the NFL coming up tomorrow as well on the program. Looking forward to that. And yeah, the Saints go out. Drew Brees sounds like his career is probably finished, and we'll wait for the official announcement. We're going to have some quarterback movement again. We had some last year with Rivers going to the Colts, et cetera, et cetera. Winston going to the New Orleans Saints. Will New Orleans have Taysom Hill, or will they have Jameis Winston? We shall see on that. But that's the intrigue, if you will, as far as the National Football League is concerned.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a very interesting offseason, and where will, excuse me, where will Deshaun Watson end up? I know where I'd like him to end up, but he's clearly not happy in Houston, and yeah, it's going to be a very active offseason, I think.
Yep. All right. All right, Mark, have a good night. We will talk with you tomorrow.
Talk to you then.
All right. So you've been listening to the Gym Class right here on KGYM. Tonight, we've got the Iowa State Coaches Show at 6:30, followed by Baylor and Kansas in basketball, 1600 AM, 102.3, NBA basketball on 107.5 and 106.3 FM coming your way tonight.
Basketball is back, and you know what that means. It means it's time to fire up the FanDuel Sportsbook app. From the opening tip to the final buzzer, there are so many ways to bet on FanDuel. Think about the range of betting options they feature. You can bet on money lines, spreads, over-unders, player props, parlays, futures. Find whatever bet you're looking for, as FanDuel has heaps of options. And they also feature live betting. It's easy to place a bet fast during a game if you see a trend that you like. You can get action in the middle of a game that you like. So now is the perfect time to give FanDuel a shot.